Well, I'm coming to you with the final message, the Boxing Day message, the fourth in our Christmas playlist. As we look at Simeon's song in Luke chapter 2 from verse 25 to verse 40. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do what was custom for what the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, said this, or sang this song: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of God, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Have you ever been left holding the baby? I remember when I was about 13, my cousin was born. Up until then, I'd been the youngest in our family. But I remember holding in my arms this tiny bundle. What did I do with him? Just hold him? Was I holding him right? What if I dropped him? It all seemed so terribly unnatural to me then. And then have you noticed how people, when holding a baby, often feel the need to make a comment about the child? She looks just like her mother. Look how much hair she has. Oh, he has his father's nose. I don't wish that on any of my children. Just what do you say about a baby? There has been so much expectation of the birth. But when it's born, what do you actually come out with? After all, if we're honest, one baby kind of looks pretty much like another. You can't say that, I know. They're all very different. But to me, a baby looks like a baby. It's really only as they continue to grow, isn't it, that they're character, their personality, their individuality starts to emerge. But as Simeon held this baby, it wasn't just any old baby that Simeon held in his arms that day in the temple. And Simeon knew that. He knew exactly what to say about this child. And there are three key words here, I think, that I want to pick up with you. And the first of these, the first key word is anticipation. Anticipation. for so long there's been this anticipation, hasn't there, building up to Christmas. That for children, that anticipation becomes almost unbearable. How many more sleeps until Christmas? Until finally it was here and now it's gone. I guess as we get older, anticipation kind of wanes for us a little bit. And I suppose if we have faith, we anticipate that glorious day when we'll go to be with the Lord. We might still, hopefully, anticipate food and festivities, but perhaps not quite in the same enthusiastic way as when we were small, where it all seemed so magical and so exciting. But for dear old Simeon, the anticipation had gone on for years and years until he was an old man. We read that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for the Christ child, for the Messiah to come. And he was still extremely excited about that. And we should be excited that the birth of Jesus has taken place. He had read, you see, the Old Testament prophecies over and over again. He knew what it said about where this child would be born and how this child would be born to a virgin. He knew it all inside out. But he had also been told that he personally would not die until he had seen this child, this Messiah, for himself, the promised one. Simeon was a devout believer, as was Anna, in the coming of the Messiah, Israel's king. Now, when Jesus was brought to the temple 8 days after his birth, as was the custom, Simeon gladly receives Jesus into his arms. I don't know if Simeon had much experience of holding babies. Perhaps he'd held many babies through the years, wondering if this child or that child would be the one. But he knew instinctively when they brought this child that this was the promised Messiah. And so we move from anticipation to explanation. Verse 28, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This child, Simeon explains, is going to have an exceptional future. We probably wonder, if we have a child, what our children will grow up to be. But this child's path was already decided. He had come to save not only Israel, God's ancient chosen people, but he has also come for the Gentiles, for non-Jews. He has come for everyone else who will believe in him. Jesus has come to deal with the sins of the whole world. Jesus has come to deal with your sin and with mine if we will believe in him and ask him to deal with it. There is not one person amongst us who gets our life right all of the time. We have failed God. We deserve to be cut off from God for eternity. But Jesus comes to offer that salvation. There's not one of us who doesn't need that offer of salvation. But this salvation would not come without a cost. There was anticipation and there was explanation. But there was also, thirdly, as Simeon explains, destination. Destination. Verse 34, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own heart, speaking to Mary, he says, the sword will pierce your own heart too. Yes, this child would offer salvation, but it would cost Jesus his life to bring this hope to the world. He would reveal men's true attitude towards God. Some will be followers of him, others will despise him. As we know, some still use his name as a swear word today. Ultimately, people would take him and they would crucify him. So he would be like a stumbling block. He would either be the means of our salvation, or he would be the one that we fall over, meaning that we ourselves are in terrible peril if we fall over Jesus Christ. If we don't accept him, then he causes our falling. He causes us ultimately to be cut off from God's presence forever. He is the dividing line, if you like, between those who are saved and those who are destined for an eternity without God. He defines our destination. I guess Mary never forgot these words of Simeon. One day your heart, Mary, is going to be broken because of this child. That's what Simeon warns here, and around 33 years later, Mary would watch on as they took her beloved son and killed him on a Roman cross. And so in our minds we move from Christmas to Easter. Christmas is, you see, only the beginning of the story of the Christ. Easter represents that darkness, that spiritual and physical darkness that fell on that Good Friday, as Jesus is nailed to the cross and breathes his last, as men do their worst against the very Son of God. But actually, this was always God's plan for his Son. God allowed his Son Jesus to be punished like a sinner, even though he had never done anything wrong. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God the Father punished Jesus in our place, if we'll accept him. Jesus came as that baby in Bethlehem with the express purpose of going to that destination of the cross, to bear the burden of the sin of the world. He went through hell, we might say, so that people can be set free from hell, so that he could change our destination. A great exchange takes place at the cross. Jesus takes the guilt and the sin and the punishment due to us, and God declares all who believe in Jesus, all who trust in him for their salvation, guilt-free. My sin deserves punishment. My sin deserves hell, but Jesus took it. I know Christmas is expensive. After Christmas, some of us will face bills, perhaps credit card bills, I don't know. But imagine if someone just came along and paid that debt for you. Wherever you were in the red, they just stamped, paid, debt gone, no more to pay. Imagine if someone came and wrote off your mortgage. You know, this effectively is what Jesus offers to do with our debt of sin. On that third day, that first Easter Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And we're promised that if we believe in him, he changes our destination from an eternity away from God to an eternity in glory with him. There is anticipation with Simeon for his coming. There is explanation when he came. But ultimately, it is all about destination, your destination at the end of this life. Christmas is expensive, folks, but nothing could be more expensive than to ignore or to reject Jesus and his free offer of salvation. The Lord bless you at the end of this Christmas season, and may you enter into 2022, if God gives us that time, assured in your heart that Jesus is your Saviour. Will you live for him as your Lord next year? God bless you.